7. A summer night on the outskirts of a Midwestern city. Somewhere people were watching Harrison Ford snap his bullwhip. Somewhere the actor president was no doubt smiling his untrustworthy smile. Here, in this campground, Andy Steiner was lying on a discount store lawn recliner, bathed in the headlights of Rose's Earth Cruiser and someone else's Winnebago. Rose had explained to her that, while the True Knot owned several campgrounds, this wasn't one of them. But their advance man was able to four-wall places like this, businesses tottering on the edge of insolvency. America was suffering a recession, but for the True, money was not a problem. "Who is this advance man?" Andy had asked. "Oh, he's a very winning fellow," Rose had said, smiling. "Able to charm the birdies down from the trees. You'll meet him soon."
"Is he your special guy?"
Rose had laughed at that and caressed Andy's cheek. The touch of her fingers caused a hot little worm of excitement in Andy's stomach. Crazy, but there it was.
"You've got a twinkle, don't you? I think you'll be fine."
Maybe, but as she lay here, Andy was no longer excited, only scared. News stories slipped through her mind, ones about bodies found in ditches, bodies found in wooded clearings, bodies found at the bottom of dry wells. Women and girls. Almost always women and girls. It wasn't Rose who scared her, not exactly. And there were other women here, but there were also men. Rose knelt beside her. The glare of the headlights should have turned her face into a harsh and ugly landscape of blacks and whites, but the opposite was true. It only made her more beautiful. Once again, she caressed Andy's cheek.
"No fear," she said. "No fear."
She turned to one of the other women, a pallidly pretty creature Rose called Silent Sari, and nodded. Sari nodded back and went into Rose's monster RV. The others, meanwhile, began to form a circle around the lawn recliner. Andy didn't like that. There was something sacrificial about it.
"No fear. Soon you'll be one of us, Andy. One with us."
"Unless," Rose thought, "you cycle out. In which case, we'll just burn your clothes in the incinerator behind the comfort stations and move on tomorrow. Nothing ventured, nothing gained." But she hoped that wouldn't happen. She liked this one, and a sleeper talent would come in handy. Sari returned with a steel canister that looked like a thermos bottle. She handed it to Rose, who removed the red cap. Beneath was a nozzle and a valve. To Andy, the canister looked like an unlabeled can of bug spray. She thought about bolting up from the recliner and running for it, then remembered the movie theater. The hands that had reached inside her head, holding her in place.
"Grandpa Flick?" Rose asked. "Will you lead us?"
"Happy to."
It was the old man from the theater. Tonight he was wearing baggy pink Bermuda shorts, white socks that climbed all the way up his scrawny shins to his knees, and Jesus sandals. To Andy, he looked like Grandpa Walton after 2 years in a concentration camp. He raised his hands and the rest raised theirs with him. Linked that way and silhouetted in the crisscrossing headlight beams, they looked like a chain of weird paper dolls.
"We are the True Knot," he said.
The voice coming from that sunken chest no longer trembled. It was the deep and resonant voice of a much younger and stronger man.
"We are the True Knot," they responded. "What is tied may never be untied."
"Here is a woman," Grandpa Flick said. "Would she join us? Would she tie her life to our life and be one with us?"
"Say yes," Rose said.
Yes, Andy managed. Her heart was no longer beating, it was thrumming like a wire. Rose turned the valve on her canister. There was a small, rueful sigh, and a puff of silver mist escaped. Instead of dissipating on the light evening breeze, it hung just above the canister until Rose leaned forward,
pursed those fascinating coral lips and blew gently. The puff of mist, looking a bit like a comic strip dialogue balloon without any words in it, drifted until it hovered above Andy's upturned face and wide eyes.
"We are the true knot, and we endure," Grandpa Flick proclaimed.
"Sabatha Hanti,"
the others responded. The mist began to descend very slowly.
"We are the chosen ones."
"Lodsam Hanti," they responded.
"Breathe deep," Rose said, and kissed Andy softly on the cheek. "I'll see you on the other side." "Maybe."
"We are the fortunate ones."
"Kahana, Risone, Hanti."
"Then, all together, we are the true knot, and we..."
But Andy lost track of it there. The silvery stuff settled over her face, and it was cold, cold. When she inhaled, it came to some sort of tenebrous life and began screaming inside her. A child made of mist, whether boy or girl she didn't know, was struggling to get away, but someone was cutting. Rose was cutting, while the others stood close around her, in a knot, shining down a dozen flashlights, illuminating a slow-motion murder.
Andy tried to bolt up from the recliner, but she had no body to bolt with. Her body was gone. Where it had been was only pain in the shape of a human being. The pain of the child's dying and of her own.
"Embrace it." The thought was like a cool cloth pressed on the burning wound that was her body. "That's the only way through."
"I can't. I've been running from this pain my whole life."
"Perhaps so, but you're all out of running room. Embrace it, swallow it, take steam or die."